Harold, as we go into the fall and winter season upcoming for 2015, CRDF, you guys have a lot of committees at work. You've got a lot of research projects underway. You've got some things that are starting to look like they're going commercial. A whole lot going on involves a whole lot of research input, but you are kind of the funnel of all these research dollars from various sources. Where was the primary funding source for you guys going forward?
Well, Gary, it began. I think it's important to clarify that when HLB emerged in Florida and the industry wanted to respond, it was really on the backs of their own dollars. Both the research box tax and the Department of Citrus Marketing and Promotion funds were put together to really start the whole program. And with time, we've been able to leverage other funds from the state legislature, from outside donors, and most recently from the federal government. So there's a lot more in the portfolio that's been able to occur as a result of being able to leverage these funds. So the backbone, I would say, is the traditional research box tax, which actually started in 1992, and it runs in six-year cycles, and the growers have a per-box fee, which is now 3 cents, that contributes to that. And it also provides the leverage that we can go to the legislature and say, look, the growers are spending their money. We need help from you to help it. So we're at the end of a six-year cycle with the box tax referendum, and there'll be some activity over the next several months to look at renewing that and keeping the momentum with the funding we have, both our own grower funding, but also the ability to leverage state and federal dollars.
So when you look at the whole roots of this whole effort, it's really been a grassroots thing from the growers up in the very beginning when we didn't have any of these federal dollars or state dollars even being considered for research, but yet the research elements and the organization to manage that research for you guys had to take place.
Exactly, and it's a little different than a lot of emergency disease responses. If you think about a new introduction of a pest or disease or fruit flies or whatever it may be, it's often the federal government that comes in to set up the response teams and do the surveys and establish that. But I think in the case of HLB in Florida, the growers clearly stepped up from the beginning and said, we're going to handle this. We're going to take it under our own control. We're going to invest in moving this forward aggressively, and we want to encourage the participation of others, but we're going to manage our own destiny. And I think that attitude has prevailed since then and continues at this time.
Well, I guess part of that, too, was the urgency of the situation, not wanting to wait on government to set up a long-winded program when they had to see action immediately to get something going.
Well, and we all know that this is a long fight, and we've been at it for 10 years now since the first HLB was found in the state. And there are short-term, intermediate, and long-term solutions that are being developed and are emerging. And when you look at government funding and the strategies that government uses to allocate that funding, it often addresses the longer term. So I think the incentive for the growers was, let's get started right now. Let's learn what's known about this disease elsewhere in the world. Let's commit all our dollars to doing the things that we can do right now. And, of course, among those was, let's start controlling psyllids because it's something we haven't been doing to date. So a lot of the early work with funding from the industry was focused on the psyllid and understanding the disease itself.
Well, you know, when we talk about this whole funding issue, and I'm thinking of the growers in the field being bombarded with new information every day, worries in between, and, you know, spray schedules and all the things they're dealing with. But we talk about funding, you know, we fight for funding for IFAS, for example, in the state legislative circles. Every year it's the same thing going back, explaining what IFAS does. You guys obviously got seed capitalized from the growers themselves, but it was that grower money that, like you say, helped convince the lawmakers, both state and federal, to jump in the game. If the growers hadn't have funded some of it, would they have been as willing? That's an important question, I think. But what just dawns on me a little bit is, you know, we see a lot of research projects, and let's face it, to a grower in the field, it's that local IFAS center, or that local citrus research center, or the local extension service office that parlays that research. But does the grower really realize that research has gone through the funding mechanism through you guys putting all this together that ended up with those IFAS researchers to be able to do that research?
Yeah, and I think, speaking personally, having been on both sides of this, obviously when HLB came in, I was working with IFAS, and the institutions, both the University of Florida and the ARS labs here in the state and other universities, are here and able to help. And they're limited, as all organizations are, by resources and faculty that are already committed to certain lines of research and teaching and so on. And when you add the grower dollars and you identify the priorities that you want the industry to address, you can leverage the assets that the University of Florida and the ARS have. And some of our growers characterize it as they buy the car and we put the gas in the tank. And so with the industry money, you can take advantage of a really talented pool of people here at Lake Alfred, at Immokalee, Fort Pierce, all around the state, working with responsibility for citrus. And now you can kind of direct what they do based on the provision of funding through the industry. And when you match that with state and federal dollars, you get the kind of portfolio that CRDF has right now and has maintained since really 2009. We've had over 100 projects ongoing annually for that period of time. And those are largely funding to University of Florida, to ARS, to the institutions you would expect are best prepared to help us. But it also allows us to reach out and leverage the University of California expertise in citrus. We have scientists at Penn State that know about biology, not necessarily citrus, and they're contributing. So we've been able to amass a really strong community of people who are doing this work, not just to be doing it, because they want to help solve problems. And so the industry money is fundamental to moving that whole effort forward.
Boy, when you come around these every 6 years, things with so many things in between, you often wonder how often the grower is able to step out of his own bubble of concerns every day and see that 100 projects plus from the day one to now, and where we might be without those projects and without CRDF stepping up as fast as it did.
Well, it's a tough challenge, and we all are kind of heads down trying to deal with what's hitting us today and tomorrow. And I recognize I've never owned citrus, so I can't speak personally as a business effort to try to deal with what growers are facing. But citrus is a complicated system, and the biology around this disease system is equally or more complicated. And what I try to communicate to growers is that we started with very little understanding of this disease, how it moved, how the psyllids moved, how to interfere with it. And now we have numerous lines of intervention that are moving toward field trials and actually handoff to the industry. We've got rootstocks that have been demonstrated now to be tolerant to the disease. And that is coming slow. But as a research administrator, I look at it and say it's amazing to me how much progress has been made in our understanding of the disease that now allows us to really focus on delivering those solutions. So yes, it's slow. Yes, we would like to have the solutions faster, but I'm quite optimistic about the solutions coming forward that this investment in the science has brought about.
Boy, lots to talk about here with Dr. Harold Browning, Citrus Research and Development Foundation. We'll be talking more as this whole process goes into the next year in 2016 and beyond. But kudos to you and your team and what the foundation's doing all across the board. It's really making some impact, it seems, and buying the growers some time toward that ultimate answer, hopefully.
Well, and to your opening comments, Gary, you know, without the commitment of the industry and the foresight that they had, this never would have happened. And you know, a lot of people look at CRDF and said, how did this happen? And it really happened because the groups of growers got together and said, we've got to move aggressively and leave no stones unturned in this effort to find solutions and overcome HLB. So we're getting there, and we're optimistic we're going to have the solutions.
I appreciate it. Dr. Browning, thank you very much.